Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev, of 47 years and 1 month as of today.
Hallelujah.
We want to ask you, the same question that Jesus asked Peter in Luke 9:18, when he says,
"And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am?"
So here's a question. What do people say about you? Who you are? The kind of person you are? Are you considered a good son or daughter? A wonderful spouse? True friend? A loving father, someone who cares for and about others, a successful person, a dreamer. Who do people say you are?
In Proverbs 22:1, it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold."
You know, it's always great to have a good name. But sometimes you may not, and it's not even your fault. Sad to say, there are times when certain people may say unkind things about you, not because of what you've done, but because of the kind of life you're living for the Lord. Don't be moved by what other people see. Only be stirred and moved by the Word of God. Regardless of your background, the Word of God becomes the equalizer in how you view yourself. That's why it's critically important to begin to see yourself the way the Lord sees you. So let's take a moment and look at 8 things the Word of God says about you. Number 1, you are a child of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right, baby. Have you ever been introduced by your association with someone else? This is Randy. He's Laurel's husband. This is Ray. He's Brenda's husband. This is Beth. She's Sherry's sister. This is Ann. She's Abby's sister. See, this is particularly true when siblings attend the same school.
That's true.
Now, we want to share with you how we want to be known.
Hallelujah. Genesis 1:26 tells us who we are. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And if that isn't enough, Hebrews 2:11 in the New Living Translation says, "So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters." You want to be called a brother and a sister of Jesus? Hallelujah. Absolutely. And in Romans 15:13 in the Living Bible, it says, "So I pray for you, Gentiles, that God gives you hope." "So I pray for you, Gentiles, that God who gives you hope will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in him. I pray that God will help you overflow with hope in him through the Holy Spirit's power within you."
Yeah.
I know. And then you have, as if that isn't enough, 1 Peter 1:5 in the Classic Amplified. "Who are being guarded, garrisoned by God's power through your faith till you inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time."
You know, honey, when we take all these scriptures and put them together, they form the way that every believer should want to be known.
Yes, and can be known, because that's how we're known.
That's exactly right. Let me give you an example. This is Harold. He's a born-again child of God who created him in his image and after his likeness, whose older brother is Jesus, who endued Harold with the power of the Holy Spirit and empowered him to achieve great things for the kingdom of God while tormenting the devil.
I know you love adding that last little part in.
I do. You see, that makes you somebody in God's eyes.
Amen.
Number two. You go, baby.
You are the head and not the tail. I like that.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 13 says, "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath." I like that, above only.
That's right.
You know, he emphasizes that for us. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearkenest unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. You know, remember, these words were first used on slaves. I'm talking walking in a slave mentality, coming up out of Egypt. They were used as an example for us, according to 1 Corinthians 10:11, that we might escape the bondages of slavery they experienced and know how to enter our promised land, the abundant life Jesus redeemed us for. Ah, it's amazing. First, get a hold of this. The Lord shall make thee. The Lord shall make thee, not anybody else. The Lord, our great God, Jehovah, Elohim, the Almighty One, shall make you. We're not talking about an assistant to an assistant. We're not even talking about an angel. God Almighty will make you the head and not the tail. According to Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word for head means head, top, summit, upper part, chief, total, sum, height, front, beginning, choice, best.
Wow.
The head is a position of leadership, whereas the tail, according to Strong's Concordance, means the end of something. God's plan is to make you the chief, the choice, the best, the total of all that is. He never intended you to be the end of a thing. In Colossians 2, verse 10 in the New Living Translation, it says, "So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Do you get that? Every ruler and authority. It is. You need to read Ephesians 4. Anyway, there's a lot of good scripture that backs all that up. We don't have time for today. Get ready to shout, though, as I read Deuteronomy 28:13. Deuteronomy 28, verse 13 in the New Living Translation says this, "If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today and you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom." That's another great way of saying it.
It really is.
So pay particular attention to these last 11 words in that verse. I'm going to read them to you again. You will always be on top and never at the bottom.
It says always. Not
like
sometimes. Always.
Amen.
Always be on the top and never at the bottom. Number three, following up on that, you are above and not beneath. Deuteronomy 28:13. "And thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath. If thou, that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them." And that's a good verse to personalize to.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah. "And Larry shall be above, and Larry shall not be beneath, if he shall hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God." Yes, my brother Harold, I don't feel above. I feel more like I'm beneath. I lost my job. I'm behind all my bills. My wife left me. Even my dog ran away. Listen, even if all that were true, it doesn't change a thing.
Because it doesn't change what the Word of God spoke about you.
That's exactly right. Numbers 23:19, Classic Amplified. "God is not a man they should tell or act a lie. Neither the Son of Man, that he should feel repentance or compunction for what he's promised. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken it, and shall he not
make
it good?
Oh, I just love that scripture.
I know you do, baby.
That's exciting revelation.
It is. For us, for you, for all of us. See, God does not talk just to hear himself speak. He says what he means and means what he says. If things are going the way you want them to go, if you're continually feeling beneath and like the tail, then perhaps it's time to have a bit of self-inventory. In a time of prayer, earnestly ask God to reveal to you there are areas in your life where you've left a door open for the enemy to enter. Is there marital trouble? Habits that need to be changed? Sins that need to be forgiven of? Perhaps it's how you handle your finances. And somebody might say, yes, but Brother Harold, I tithe and give offerings, but nothing seems to work. I want to be clear about this. You can tithe and give offerings, but if you're foolish in other areas of your financial life, that you can't even pay your bills, you will face the consequences of your actions.
But God will forgive you.
Yes, he will. However, when you tithe and give offerings and are obedient to his direction, things will begin to change.
Hallelujah.
Amen. More importantly, God will rebuke the devourer for your life, for your sake, and truthfully out of your life.
Amen. That's what Malachi 3:11 says. Malachi 3 verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now listen to this, because this is good. You know, it's a matter of us changing our mind and deciding to do things that are right before this in the sight of the Lord. And this is our promise. Malachi 3:11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And what that's meaning, obviously, that was an agrarian society. What it means to us today is that our work will produce fruit, whatever work, a line of work we're in, and God will bless it.
Amen. Amen.
And that comes right back up to, and that will put us above and not
beneath. It'll make us the head.
And not the tail.
And not the tail.
We're not going to have time to finish this.
No, we're not. We'll pick up right here tomorrow morning.
Hallelujah.
And go to haroldherring.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. And if you've been blessed by the teaching, just ask God what he'd have you sow. You should click the button that says sow a seed. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.